Hello and welcome to the Stop Stressing Me Out podcast. I'm your host, Victoria Smith, and we are on episode 5 of our 12-week series that's all about workplace well-being and stress management. Our last two episodes, we had the fantastic opportunity to speak with Jen Single about what it means to build psychologically safe teams. How do you also build high-performing teams that not only maintain well-being, but encourage and develop sustainable well-being? Because that's really the thing. If you want to keep performance high, you've got to keep well-being front and center constantly. And so she broke down some really excellent tips and practices for you to integrate into your workplace. Now, today I want to talk about something a little bit different. Let me paint you a picture. I have found you the perfect employee. They are committed. They have vision. They don't stop until they get the job done. They are a respected leader in their field. They have passion. They want what they feel is best for their collective team members and community. They're direct and concise. Sounds pretty good, right? I mean, I've listed a bunch of values and traits for you that sound fantastic, right? But what if I told you that I'm describing Darth Vader? My son is in a bit of a Star Wars kick right now. Or Voldemort. Or remember how Hitler was voted Time Person of the Year before the Holocaust? Do they not all embody these values? I mean, they do, but not in the way that you've interpreted it, right? To them, they've interpreted this accurately, and they are living out those values. Here's the thing about values, whether personal, professional, individual, or team. Unless explicitly described in detail, they are open to interpretation, and we all have different interpretations. This topic has been on my mind for quite some time. Corporate values are a funny one. If you're applying for a job, it's very common for questions to come up in the interview process to see if you align with corporate values. Give us an example of a time you were authentic or committed or adaptable or showed integrity or insert corporate value here. When you're in the job, many of us have our performance ranked against those values. Explain how in the past year you've lived up to the value of boldness or accountability or humility or innovation. What I find is so often missing in corporate values is the explicitness of what does it look like if you're living them out. And what should it not look like? What are the company's actual expectations of them versus your own individual interpretation? Now, why is this even an issue? Like, why am I talking about this? First off, because people are complex. We come to the table with a myriad of life experiences that may or may not match our coworkers and definitely may not match the corporate folks who created those values for the website. And most importantly, because I see people bending over backwards, twisting themselves in knots, trying to achieve something and fit into a mold at the cost of their well-being. Values have a polarity to them, or a spectrum, let's say. Let's take adaptability, for example. This is a value that you see all over the corporate world. It's well-intentioned. Organizations know that the modern economy is constantly shifting. Clients' needs change, technology changes, the climate changes in more ways than one, and the demands of your role may change in turn. What they're asking for is flexibility in how you approach the role and a willingness to change. But here's what ends up happening in a lot of cases. In an eagerness to be adaptable, I see so many people say yes when they should say no. I see people drop boundaries that should be in place, and their desire to please and accelerate in their careers is at the sake of their own needs. Let's take teamwork as a value. That seems like it should be a win-win, right? No downside to teamwork. But again, it's a spectrum. We can have people giving so much of themselves to their team members that they lose focus on their own needs. And raise your hands if you've ever seen someone be promoted to a leadership position who was not a good team member. I know I have. We've all experienced people who are great at managing up and presenting themselves well to senior leaders at the expense of their team members. And so, when an organization asks teamwork to be a core value, but does not walk the walk in their hiring practices, then trust is broken, The value means nothing. Now let's take customer-focused or customer-obsessed, which is a popular one. This sounds like another fantastic value. If the business is serving the customer, then surely they should put them first. But I've worked in enough client-facing roles to know that the customer is not always right, and still see leaders who try to save a customer at all costs at the sake of their employee who's facing the brunt of toxicity or abuse. For many organizations, they also see their shareholders as customers, and we've all seen what happens when shareholders' dividends are prioritized at the sake of stable teams. Layoffs, budget cuts, and harsh measures that mean you're sacrificing the employee over the customer or shareholder. So are the values that I listed inherently bad? Of course not. But it comes down to how they are communicated and how they are followed through. And that responsibility lies with the leadership of an organization. When I am working with coaching clients, we dive deep into personal values because they frankly guide the best decisions. The core questions that I always ask when someone has identified a value is, if you are living out this value, how would I, as an outsider, know? What would your life look like? What actions would you take? How would you speak to yourself and others? How would an outsider looking in know this about you? So, fun fact, companies can do the exact same thing. They can make their thinking visible and be explicit about what their values mean to them, those who created and are espousing them. For example, let's go back to adaptability and flexibility. An organization and leaders could be more clear and say something like, "From experience, we know that things can change on a dime, and we know that change is not always easy. We look for team members who are willing to be adaptable when it's in the best interest of the organization as a whole. This might sometimes mean taking on a heavier workload, but we will make sure to balance this out down the road. This might mean your role responsibilities have to shift, but your leaders will have continual conversations with you to ensure that you are resourced with the tools you need to be successful and maintain your professional development. Adaptability does not mean we want you to work yourself to exhaustion or take on more than you can reasonably handle. If you feel this is happening, chat to your leader early and often so we can change course. Adaptability is a two-way street. We know your personal and professional needs may change, so we are committed to doing what we can to help you thrive in your career at X company." Now, that doesn't fit on a corporate website, like I get it, but holy heck is it so much more clear. And it's also important to remember again that these values are a two-way street. You know, we talk about adaptability and flexibility, and yet how many organizations do we see forcing employees back to the office? That doesn't sound like we've mutually agreed upon this value, does it? Now, can you imagine if in a corporate onboarding process, there was that much clarity behind what each value meant? And if you drilled it home, not only from HR, but from department leads and individual leaders, it would mean the shared understanding of the values would be truly shared, truly, and constantly echoed. Not just a keyword that we all interpret differently. There are companies who do this well. HubSpot is one that comes to mind. They openly share their culture code on their website, which I've linked to in today's show description. Admittedly, it's 128 slides, but fear not, like we're talking a sentence per slide, and it's very visual and it's a storytelling process. It drives the message home, though. One of their values is humility, and they are explicit about what humility is and what it is not. Same goes for one of their values, which is remarkable. I mean, you and I probably would interpret that totally different ways. So they describe ways in which people can be remarkable in their roles and what it looks like day to day. They talk about trusting in your good judgment, and they're clear of examples of what good judgment looks like, as well as a decision-making rubric to help you out. It's clear. I don't see a lot of organizations that do this well. I mean, there's some organizations like Google and Patagonia and others that at least make their values action-oriented and maybe a complete sentence and give like greater descriptions. But again, and I'm not saying this is necessarily the case for either of those organizations, but if the organization isn't consistently walking the walk on their values as leaders themselves, then the values lose all meaning. What can you do as an individual leader? Maybe your organization has not broken this out into explicit detail for you, But that doesn't stop you from doing it for your own team. When you bring on a new team member, or simply want to do an all hands with your team, you can walk them through the values, what they mean to you, what you think they would look like in action, and ask for feedback. Ask for a collaboration on shared agreement of what values in action would look like versus what they should not look like. Because if you don't, it's like when you're on a complex call and you have a question, but nobody else is asking the question, so you don't ask it either. You don't want to look dumb or like you missed something, and so you bury it. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be clear, repeatedly with people, to include their opinion in the process. This not only helps build psychologically safe teams, but it's also a chance for you as a leader to say what this means for how you commit to show up for your people, not just what you expect of them. Last but not least, we're talking a lot about corporate values, maybe even department or team values, but how often are we as leaders digging into our team members' personal values? I honestly rarely see this, and it's a huge opportunity, a huge missed opportunity to get to know what makes your people tick. You might infer their values from conversations, but how much time do you really get with each of your individual team members? It is so powerful to take the dedicated time to understand what is important to them as a human being. It will inform how you motivate them, how you support them in times of stress and change, and how you help them develop new skills and adjust their career path. It's work, like, don't get me wrong, but holy heck does it make for more powerful workplace relationships. So that's me for today, my little corporate values rant and the importance of clarity. If you were resonating with this topic, we dive into this and so much more in my program, Less Stress Teams, which launches April 17th. This is a 6-week program for leaders whose teams are stressed or on their way to overwhelm and desperately want to help. In this program, we'll go through hands-on, tangible practices for you to build psychological safety, recognize and address signs of burnout, create a connection to purpose, and so much more. I pride myself on my programs going beyond theory because I know you're busy. I know you need to see results and try things out now. So that's what this program is all about. If you want to find out more and register for the spring cohort, go to impactfulengagement.com/training. And the link will also be in the description for this podcast wherever you are listening. Make sure you listen in next week when we'll be joined by Michelle Berg, owner of Elevated HR, where we'll talk all things stress management in the workplace, what this looks like from a leadership and HR perspective, examples of practices from companies that get it right, and my personal rant on the need for more part-time professional work. Until then, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode.